dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in once again to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. My name is Bruce Knox. I will get to the other gentleman in just a second here, but I'll first tell you this is our fifth show of Season 9. It's show 258 overall for all those of you who are keeping track, and it, like all, are sponsored by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, all kinds of fun under one roof, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street behind the Hampton Inn. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., 740-773-7529, and you can look up detailed information about them and their great facility at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. Appreciate their continued sponsorship of the podcast for these 9 seasons. I'd like to now bring in Mr. John Bruce and say hello. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing very well. We're recording this. Sometimes we do it Mondays, sometimes we do it Sundays, and tonight's one of the Sunday nights. So I'd like to bring you in and hope your weekend and your past week has gone well. Seems like you've been busy traveling around quite a bit, seeing some SVC sports. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. I just hit 200,000 miles on my car this week.
Yeah, just getting broken in.
Yeah, just broken in. It's about 6 years old, so I think I do a little bit of driving.
Yep.
And it's kind of exciting just because it's such a big number. But it was an interesting week, and also did a lot of traveling and didn't leave the state this time, though. So.
Oh. Where did you go? Is this the Mom and Me baseball tour that you are going around?
No, we've actually saved that up for a couple weeks. We're gonna get over to Kansas City and St. Louis, but this weekend just went to watch my niece cheer for Bishop Watterson in Columbus and got to see their new facility and. Got to look at their old baseball field, which played a lot of summer ball on, and it was the worst field I ever played on, and now it looks like possibly the best field I've ever seen for high school. So
great.
It's crazy what money can do.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it, though? Isn't it, though? We'll talk about that maybe in just a little bit anyway. And bring in Shane Combs. Shane, how about you? Did you make it around the SVC this week?
Oh, I went to a couple places, you could say, but it's a busy time. You know, fall, we've always said it, fall's nuts. Yeah. I mean, there's something going on all the time. If it turns into a 2 or 3 hour night on the computer, that's actually pretty slow for fall.
It can
get crazy, but gosh, we love it. Love covering it. I always look forward to getting in the studio and talking SVC sports. It's a lot of fun. I think we have an incredible show tonight.
Well, speaking of the show, what's on the agenda for this week?
I look down through here. I see, obviously sponsorship-wise, I want to give a shout-out to Advanced Services. Awesome to have them on board. They do a lot of our volleyball segments for us. And with Advanced Services, on this week's volleyball segment, we're coming right up on the turn. Like you said, it's Sunday night. This Tuesday, we'll finish our first round. Looking back at this past week, Skylar Heiss and Lexi Lockwood of Southeastern, they're starting to play some good volleyball. I was able to run them down after their big Uniota win. So Skylar Heiss and Lexi Lockwood will be on our Advanced Services volleyball segment tonight. So make sure our volleyball listeners find that. Crown Hill Golf Club. Got a fun new game for us this week. I know Kevin's not going to be very happy with me, but got a little fun golf theme to allow us to talk a little bit. Because after all, we're not all as good as Matty Schultz or Ty Schoblock when it comes to the game of golf. Every now and then, guys, we need us a mulligan. So we'll explain that a little bit later.
Okay.
So shout out to Crown Hill Golf Club and North Fork Animal Clinic. They always take care of our football segment. Week 3 leaves us kind of viewing week 11 with a little different outlook, I think, John. I think that'd be good. I know John's got a little audio with quarterback Paint Valley there, Bryce Newland. I look forward to hearing that interview. Bryce is one of the real good student athletes in our league. And so, again, North Fork Animal Clinic. So, as always, Advanced Services and Crown Hill Golf Club and North Fork Animal Clinic. Bruce will give them a shout out as we get to those segments. But that's there. But, you know, John, instead of asking you like I have the last couple weeks where you wanted to go, I was going to go ahead and just ask you if we couldn't talk a little soccer here out of the get-go. Obviously, I should give a shout out, as Bruce just did. Triple Crown Family Fun Center is where I always go when I think of my soccer coverage with what they've done for that particular sport and the growth here in our area. But I guess in terms of a soccer recap, the Uniota Westfall girls happened to fall on a kind of a bad night for our show in terms of giving it its due, because it took place on a Monday night. Mm-hmm. And we had talked about athletic goalies, and it sounded like with Freya and Dudgeon that happened, an unfortunate injury at some point there. Maybe you can talk to us about just talk to us about the week that was, with some talk on that match. And then I know you have some audio there as well with some kids from around the league. So I'll just kind of turn it over to you and let you introduce your audio when you see fit, and just kind of catch us up on the week that was in soccer.
All right. Well, before I get into the Uniota Westfall match, Zane Trace also beat Southeastern in girls soccer on Monday, 4-1. Hannah Addy with the hat trick, kind of getting things going for her a little bit. She's one of the most fun players to watch in the league, just because she is just nonstop effort. So, you know, keep Zane Trace in mind. Played also a very tough schedule as well. But to get to that Uniota Westfall game, Uniota wins 3-1. Uniota did have a large possession and shot advantage in the game, but with about 22 minutes left, it was deadlocked at one when Marcy Dudgeon went down with an injury. You hate to see any injuries, especially to just an outstanding athlete like that. It was kind of a bang-bang play, you know, with the goalie. She's come sliding out. Hopefully she's okay for a quick recovery, because like I said, she's one of the really special athletes in our area, and I hope it doesn't keep her out for very long. But the Miller sisters for Uniota, Ashton and Avery, had a part in all three of the Uniota goals. Ashton with two, and Avery actually took a shot that was deflected in for an own goal, which I haven't seen a lot, but in two games in 3 days, Avery Miller was the last to touch the ball on an own goal, which is kind of crazy because, you know, it's almost never happens. But after the game, I was able to catch up with a couple of the Uniota players, and I tried to kind of incorporate it into last week's talk. So the first one up is defender Abby Seals. Bruce, could you play that audio?
Sure.
On this week's show, we talked about how hard it is to stop a goal scorer and what you have to do, especially in soccer. What is there specifically that you think that makes it more difficult, and what do you guys focus on to do it as a team?
If there's people who just automatically feed the ball to the fast forward or the striker, and they just constantly feed them the ball the whole game, it makes it really hard to defend because they're just constantly feeding the ball to the fast one up top. But we really work together if there's one of them to double team her and make sure that we drop off a little bit, especially if there's balls bouncing. So we make sure to drop back and double team.
You guys play three in the back defensively. How much do you guys have to communicate, and how much does having a Sydney back there that communicates as well as she does help you guys?
It's really good because Sydney sees the whole field, and she knows exactly when somebody's running in, so she can let you know when there's somebody coming in on your back or on which side she's coming in on or how fast she's coming in, and letting you know that there's a backside or somebody that isn't marked. It's really helpful to have Sydney there, and the defense works together to make sure that people know where the forwards or offensive players are.
So communication is key.
Yes.
All right. Well, good job, and thank you.
So once again, that was Uniota's Abby Seals. She's a junior defender, really good defender, really fast, does a great job using her body. But that was one of the things that she mentioned that I didn't even mention last week, was how difficult it can be to stop a score just the fact that they're getting the ball played to them so much. So with them getting more chances, that also gives them a chance to, you know, make more happen. Where, you know, if you're not pushing to get the ball to the single player, that also, though, if you're double teaming them, can make it a little more difficult for them to score. Mahaley Farmer did have the goal for Westfall. It's kind of off of a breakdown, but she's outstanding. But they did a really good job on Chloe Tandler, who's just awesome. So it's those are two really good teams. And another player I caught up to after was senior midfielder Sophia Garza. Bruce, could you play that audio as well?
So obviously, you know, you guys started off 1-3 this year, won 3 straight games, starting to really kind of roll. How do you think your schedule has gotten you prepared for the last 3 games and gotten you guys ready for obviously playing better?
Well, we've been playing really good teams, like playing Bexley. We've really like been able to compete with them, and I think just playing these good teams has just helped us like beat Waverly and just like prepared us really well. And I think that, like, when we get to districts, like, we're going to do pretty good. We're going to be ready for what's to come.
Kind of ready for anything. Okay, and then kind of this year, you with moving positions, you know, it's helped your team generate a little bit more offense. As a senior leader, what is that, like, how did that happen? And kind of, you know, can you explain how it helps your team?
Well, originally Autumn was playing the position I'm playing now, but I think he thinks I can be a stronger player on the outside, and we can just we just work better together if I'm on the outside. But Autumn does really well in the middle too, so it just we have a lot more shots on goals if I'm in that position.
All right. Well, thank you, and good luck with the rest of your year.
Thank you.
So that was senior midfielder Sophia Garza. And one of the things we talked about the last couple weeks was switching positions. So I thought that was important to, you know, ask her about that, as she played a central midfielder on their back-to-back district-winning teams. And then she just is completely fine moving to the outside, really helping their team, you know, moving the ball more, getting more offensive attempts up also. So I was really glad to be able to get in with those two. And yeah.
You know, John, when I listen to that soccer recap there, and that's a really good job. It's so neat how sports are sports. You know what I mean? Teams are teams. Chemistry is chemistry. No matter what we're talking about, we talk about position changes, we talk about importance of scouting report. You can hear the IQ when you listen to those two talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, just mm-hmm. as a coach myself, even if I don't understand that sport as well, you can hear that. And the other thing that jumped out at me is, man, Avery Miller, we talk a lot about Pinkerton. We talked about Fisher last year. They're at Uniode and some of the 3 sports stars we have in our league. She, gosh, going to be a sophomore. She's really set up to be quite the 3-sport athlete here over the next 2.5-3 years for this league. And it sounds like her sister's not far behind in terms of some of the things she's going to do. So that was good stuff. Now, real quick, before we get off the soccer and have Bruce move forward in the agenda, I wanted to ask you about Vijay. Now, as I said last week, I'm not going to pronounce the last name. I'll leave that to you. But I guess I had 2 questions. One, I had to ask you about the record performance. But then I'd be lying if the first thing that didn't come to my mind when I followed the tweets and I started to see the score grow, pace of play in terms of mercy rule and different things like that. So I wanted to ask you a 2-part question. I'll ask it to you at the same time and let you go. One, talk about the record performance and give him his due on an incredible performance. But then also talk to me about where does soccer need to take a look at this pace of play with the mercy rule and letting a game be over when it's over.
Yeah, Vijay Wangui, you know, set Uniota record for goals in a game with 6. Now, he scored 5 in the first, like, 8 minutes of the game and they were just better. I mean, that's, you know, it's just all it comes down to. And it was obvious from the first minute or so, you know, it was a 14-year-old record, I believe, for Tyler Bryant, who did it. He scored five in a game that finished 7-5, and he needed to score all the goals.
Yeah.
Tyler was
quite the player. Yeah.
So I mean, you know, I am glad that, like, when Derek put his stuff out about it, that it was, he made sure to mention that for Tyler. But you know, not to take anything away from the player, because I mean, your job is to score goals. And I mean, he was taken out very early in the first half. I think he got it really early in the second half. I had laughed at halftime because it was just, it was over at that point. Now, when you mention pace of play and kind of a mercy rule, I do think, like, they try to make it to where there's a running clock. But it's only in the second half when it gets to six goals or more. There has to be something done, because I mean, the next night, not an SBC game, but Chillicothe beats Washington Courthouse 17-0. There's a game this weekend where another team locally won 16-0. I mean, those games are over early. In football, like, if you put that in football terms, I mean, 10-0's 70-0. So I mean, that's over 100-0 if you're putting it in football terms. That sounds a lot worse than 15, 16, 17, 18, nothing. So I do think something has to be done. I don't know if it's shortening the second half. I know certain teams try to do certain things that, like the Uniota goalie scored a couple goals the other day. So he was playing out of position. He was just playing the game. So it's hard, because you don't want to tell kids to stop trying to score, because that's, you know, that's the point of the game. Right. Which is, I think, why it gets so out of hand. But that's where I think we need to do some things, you know, overall for the sport, because no one likes to be a part of those. The kids don't like to be a part of those games.
The only way you're going to grow the game is for more schools to get soccer. Well, right. Obviously, when a school just starts soccer, they're not going to be as good as a Uniota Zane Trace and some of these schools that have been doing it for a long time. So I guess, again, as a sports fan, as someone that just looks at competition of, yeah, there has to be different ways that where we can move on from these things if we're going to grow the game. Because if the goal is not to grow the game, then don't worry about it. Just go. But I'm telling you that these types of things cannot consistently happen and expect the sport to grow at each individual school and therefore grow within the league.
Oh, I completely agree. When I was in school, when I was a junior, we beat a team, I believe 15-0 in the tournament. It was miserable. And then what makes it worse, that team has not played a soccer game since then. I mean, right. they had a team for like 5 or 6 years, and that was it. I mean, they were down to like 13, 14 players, but at the same time, that's 13, 14 kids doing something in the school, doing an activity, getting more kids out and competing and learning how to be a part of a team. And that's kind of why I hate seeing these lopsided scores. I know they're part of the game, but it's just – you know, I, like you said, it, something's got to be done just to grow the game.
Yeah. Well, and Bruce, I appreciate you putting those audio together for John there for a soccer segment.
Yeah,
I look at it as, it doesn't take long in sports when you get the right athletes to play the sport. Mm-hmm. And I think Westfall girls are a prime example of this. I, someone that follows basketball really heavily, I can tell you that when John starts rattling off those names, I immediately know from basketball that, oh, that's an elite athlete. That's an elite athlete. That's an elite athlete. And, you know, that's the ticket. So the more we can sell these particular sports and get our best athletes playing them, gosh, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's what you're wanting. So good segment there, John. I look forward to some of our teams as they move forward into the tournament as well, to see if we can keep doing that.
All right, thanks, gentlemen. Up next, we find out, believe it or not, that even Shane and John make a mistake every now and then, and sometimes they even need a do-over. the late, great Eddie Money, who was, in fact, a New York City police officer for a whole 2 years before he did that. No extra charge for that bit of trivia here on SBC Sports.
I like it.
All right. This segment going to be brought to us by, as Shane alluded earlier, Crown Hill Golf Club, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport, 740-986-4653. And you can get all kinds of detailed information before you make that phone call to Kevin by going to the web, crownhillgolfclub.com. Crown Hill Golf Club doing a lot of stuff for the SVC and for a lot of the golfing programs in the area. We appreciate Kevin and the boys out there. Now, Shane, I understand there is a new game here. I should probably have some bit of, you know, fanfare or something, but I don't. Just you want me to sing something or can we just go into it?
Whatever you're comfortable doing, I can go ahead and
why don't you do that?
Spare the listeners the singing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Kevin, I know listens quite a bit throughout the year. His fall's busy too, but I hope Kevin will be okay every now and then. Understand, as I said in the opening, when we're not all as quality of ball strikers as Matty Schultz and Ty Schoblock and Denzel Endicott and so forth. So, sometimes what happens is when I go out and play golf, I hit a great shot and I'm proud of it. Other times though, I'll occasionally need me a mulligan, So I'm out there working on my game Friday after school. I'm out there after the long week and I want to relax. I set the alarm for how long I can be out on the golf course. And then that way I don't lose track of time. So I can get home and get my football, Friday night football fix. But I was out there and every now and then I'll come up a little thin on a chip or I'll catch a little fat or whatever it might be, or I'll be working on something off tee, and every now and then you just need you another ball, John, and you need you a mulligan. So I got to thinking, as we hit the halfway point of some of our fall sports, and some of our fall sports are well past halfway, started thinking back through the course of SVC Sports Talk this year and some things that, hey, we were kind of right about that, or man, we weren't quite so right about that. So it's one of those things I thought, what a fun segment. If Kevin will look the other way on some of our mulligans, because I know being, you got to count the score straight up, right? Every now and then, he doesn't probably like that, but we'll go with it this week. So what we're going to do, Bruce, is we're going to start with a great shot.
Okay.
And give myself and John an opportunity to, brag a little bit that we felt like we hit a great shot here. We feel like we're spot on with that. We're going to hold to this particular prediction. And then in the second half of the game, we're going to need us a mulligan. So we'll go back through a couple. And John, you'll be able to look back through. I'll be able to do the same and figure out that, ooh, I said that, didn't I? And I know that I'm right on that. So should be a lot of fun. We'll be able to cover a lot of sports and a lot of kids. So I know some of our listeners kind of fast forward and listen for just the volleyball segment or just the football segment. That's certainly fine. Just wanted to let you know straight up that there'll certainly be a lot of different sports covered in this segment. So, Bruce, hope that makes sense. I'll turn it over to you, and we'll start on the great shot.
Okay. As you said, we're going to start with the great shots, and the first one up to brag about a great shot that he hit is Shane. So, Shane, I'll let you go first.
Well, the first great shot, John, I think I'm going to go to SVC Volleyball in terms of when I was talking about Southeastern. This was a team that I was really high on with what they had coming back. I know a lot of people felt like they would slip a little bit. I still felt like they were a team that could contend, and then they unfortunately went through some adversity where they were going to be without Lexi Lockwood there at the beginning of the year. And I remember on the first podcast show, our preview show, I was saying I didn't want to make too big a deal out of it, but I thought that, you were talking about anywhere from a second to a sixth place type of difference. And I feel like that's one that we're spot on with. When you look at this particular team, this was a team that their overall weakness was probably their ability to pass the ball. If they were able to pass the ball accurately, they really had some nice size across the net, led by, Skylar Heiss, but again, a lot of young hitters coming on. And I just felt like that was something. In fact, this is probably a good time, Bruce, just to kind of highlight some of the points I'm making. After their big Uniota win this week, I was able to pull Skylar and Lexi aside and talk a little Southeastern volleyball with them. Do you have that clip there?
I do. Here we go.
Well, first of all, congratulations. It's good to see you back. It's got to be exciting to be back. You really give your team a spark. Just talk to me a little bit about the way this team seems to really be turning a corner here in the last couple weeks.
Well, defense is a main part of the game. I mean, we really need it to hit. It just really helps.
Skylar, I'll ask you while you're here at the same time. I know she won't say it, but you as a leader, what's it meant to have her back in the back row anchoring your defense?
I don't think she understands just how important she is for our defense. She gets the balls that not all of us can get to, and she just kind of breaks down our defense every game. So to have her back and have that passer back, that's meant the entire world to our team right now.
Well, now I'll kind of ask you the tough question. I know you and I talked for Great Seal Sports earlier in the offseason, and I know you're such a competitor that sometimes you're not going to make excuses. But me watching you in the preseason to now, I think even you would admit that you're really starting to come on strong. How much better do you feel when you're able to produce deep into a third and fourth set tonight? That's got to feel good as a competitor.
Yeah, it's been a long time trying to heal and get back to where I was. I'm starting to feel great now. I'm actually confident in my swing and confident in my abilities again. I think that was the biggest thing. And as a team, we've been struggling. It's been a couple of games where you're just like, how in the world can you play that bad? But I expect a lot of my teammates, and they know I do. And they give me everything they got, and I give them everything I got.
Lexi, I tell you, we're quick sometimes, and we're such in a results-driven society, we're quick sometimes to forget that this team was on the doorstep of the Final Four last year. You guys have a lot of pride, a lot of tradition. As you start to play, you know, the expectations are still there, I assume. How good can this team be as you move forward?
I mean, we just need to keep picking everybody up, just help everybody out. I mean, we can get there.
Skylar, I'll ask you. I knew a lot about you, a lot about Lexi, a lot about some of the kids coming in. Man, watching Cooper run the offense and watching Longheed and some of those kids, but man, you have a lot of young kids across the net doing some really impressive things. What's the growth been like? Because you lose, if I'm not mistaken, you guys lose your courthouse and Rock Hill game with some scheduling conflicts. The younger kids are really coming on, though. Talk to me about their progress.
They have grown so much from the off season. You know, at first you could tell they were really uncomfortable. They didn't really know their spots. Now if you look at them, you wouldn't think they're even underclassmen. We've just been working really hard in practice to make sure they feel comfortable on this team and they know their job.
Well, guys, I've always enjoyed watching you play. It's good to see both of you getting healthy, and stay healthy and keep working hard.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Again, that's Skylar Heiss and Lexi Lockwood of Southeastern Volleyball. And, gosh, what I love about the interview is just how the leadership and the voice of Skylar Heiss, you can hear it there in terms of, John, we know sometimes we can say all we want as a coach. When it comes from a peer, I loved her first answer when she was describing the importance of having Lockwood back. And when you watch Lockwood's effort in the back row, we also know as coaches that effort's contagious. It's just one of those things that you keep an extra ball up and, you know, a volley continues and maybe you win a point, maybe you don't. But it just, gosh, when you see a kid play that hard on your team, you're like, well, gosh, I want to give that same effort. And they moved Cooper into the settings position there. And it's just really in a year where a lot of rotations around the league are all over the place, Southeastern starting to really kind of settle and get kind of a little bit better chemistry and so forth. And, you know, you've heard me talk about the young kids, you know, you've heard of Logheed and Skeens, but gosh, Bells and Christopher and Scott and some of these kids that are really starting to go. It's just, it's a team that, you know, with the situation they got themselves 3-3, as we record tonight. I don't know what the realistic goal is at the end. I know they got some of the non-league games rescheduled. So, you know, this is a team that's only played one non-league match to this point. So just a team that I feel like I had marked pretty well there, Bruce, in the preseason. And I'm anxious just to continue to follow them to see if they can grow on what they've accomplished so far.
Okay, Shane, that was a great shot. I want to say that. Great shot, great shot. So, John, what great shot do you have to brag upon tonight?
Now, mine doesn't get to come through until later, and I think we're actually going to even talk about it later in the show. But I feel really good about my prediction on the amount of teams I said would make the playoffs from the SEC. Mm-hmm. And I feel even better about that we're going to get more than one team into week 12. I just really like what I've seen from our league so far. Five teams or three teams at 2-1 and two at 3-0. Adina, we'll see Adina Paint Valley this week. That's going to be, that could be a preview for the playoffs also. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, those two teams are really good. Then Southeastern, I mean, they're just off to a really fast start. And like we discussed earlier, a couple weeks ago, that they could start off, you know, 7-0, 8-0. Obviously, they got one against a Westfall team that has played really well the last 2 weeks coming up. So I think any of those three teams could get a win. I'd love to see, just as a Unioda person, just see Unioda run the table and get a chance in Division III, see how they do with what is one of their better teams they've had since Ben Hartsock. But I'm feeling really good about how good I thought our league could be. And I think they did well through the preseason, and I'm excited to see how it goes starting with SBC week one here in week four.
All right. Good shot there, John. Good shot. I was just thinking I should probably have some golf claps in the background or something like that. That would make it complete. All right, Shane, back to you for another great shot.
I liked how John was saying things still to come, because that's where I got stuck on a couple of these, John, is, you know, when I look at golf with Schoblock and Unioda, or Schultz with Westfall Girls, or obviously, you know, Boys Cross Country, or Sylvia Gray in tennis, I think all of those things – I think we've hit great shots on. We're not deep enough to tell yet. So I like how you said that. I think all of those things are things that I would hold to my prediction to this point. But I think in terms of things that I want to look at this week, I agree with you on the football, looking at the Adina Warriors. I think at the beginning of the year, if you look at Paint Valley and Unioda, we did an entire segment of a show where we talked why Paint Valley and Unioda would or wouldn't win the league. And we were talking about how, you know, hang on a second. Now, Dean is legitimate. I talked so highly about these kids. They first really came on my radar last year in week three. And then as I watched them in the league play again in week nine, and, you know, I thought maybe, okay, maybe they're a year away, year and a half away. And, you know, here we are a year later. And I just think they've really proven to be legitimate. When you look at the quarterback with the Sykes kid, such a special competitor, and they're going to be really good up front. And it impressed me the other night when I heard them rattle off their ball carriers, four or five guys, you know, carrying mm-hmm. the ball, two or three guys along, and Bennett there making big plays in the passing game. So obviously going to be a special game with Paint Valley and Adina, and I'm going to go a long way in getting that first you know, lead, so to speak, in the league standings. And then the Unioda is obviously going to play a factor in that. And as we see Southeastern, and we've even started to take notice of Westfall and so forth. But I guess the one thing that we certainly did hit a great shot, and I wanted to make sure that we still recognize, is that Dean is a serious, serious player in this. And looking forward to the next 2 weeks, watching them play Paint Valley and then Unioda, to see, you know, just how far they have come in this past year.
All right, another great shot from Shane. John, your last great shot here.
I believe, and you don't have to look back at my ranking for mm-hmm. volleyball on the 1-6, but I believe I talked about how important serving and serve receive would be in this year's SVC. Now, I'm pretty sure Shane did talk too, but I've seen multiple matches where the more aggressive serving team ultimately walked out with a victory, because – if you're very aggressive with your serve, yeah, you're gonna hit a couple long, you're gonna hit a couple into the net. But if the other team doesn't have great serve receive, you are gonna be like, you're gonna have them. They're gonna have to roll it over, and then you're gonna be on the attack. It helps your defense out a ton to have a really aggressive service, and I think that'll continue to have a great effect on the rest of the SVC season. You know, it's such a key part of the game, because if you don't get that first pass to the setter, you don't have an attack. So that's something I believe I was very correct on.
All right, gentlemen, those were some great shots there, obviously. You bragged a little bit, but now we want to see how the other side of the tracks is or are. And this section where you might perhaps need a mulligan, a do-over. And we're going to let you each have two of those. So double mulligans all around. And John, we're going to start with you. What's something maybe you stated that wasn't exactly correct, or you may want to modify it a little bit earlier in the shows?
Well, first off, I would like to say that if you've ever golfed with me, you know that I do not use only two mulligans. It right. it takes a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I just call them, you know, practice shots. Mm-hmm. But I would say one of my mulligans was I said Unieta's quarterback situation would be a question in the preseason, but man, Isaac Little stepped right in and has done an outstanding job leading the Unieta offense. Obviously, it's only been 3 weeks, but every week Little has made a marked improvement over the last week. And we saw him with just an outstanding overall game, passing, running, and actually receiving on Friday night in their big win over Waverly. I think his leadership ability is a big stabilizing force, especially as Jamarcus Carroll kind of works his way through. And he got over 20 carries on Friday, Jamarcus did. So it seems like they've kind of unleashed him a little bit. That should really make that a fun offense to see, having those two dynamic athletes in the backfield. So I do think I was wrong on thinking that would be a question mark.
All right. Shane, I'm sure you've racked your brain, and it's taken a long time, but you've probably come up with something you want to modify too. Is that correct?
Well, first of all, if I get a couple of mulligans per side, I could really turn some of these 87, 88s into some 81s, 82s for sure. But as far as this question, I'm the first to admit here, guys, this first one didn't take long at all. This one was an obvious one. That was the Unieta volleyball situation. I was completely wrong when I came to the preview. And the two things that jump out at me is this is a group that they just never really have found their identity and kind of come together in a rotation and some continuity. And then the other one that I don't know how well they've adapted to the bullseye in the overall league that they were going to take on every night in the first half. So it's one of those things I don't want to give up on them. I still say, you know, there's seven players there with experience and that championship DNA. And I think if they can still find their rotation, find their identity, I do think D2 has a little bit more depth, but I still think on their side of the bracket, they're still very doable. I just, when you look at two talents like Pinkerton and Cottrell, Emily Coleman's one of the real elite female athletes in our league. We see that in multiple sports. So with those three types of athletes, the way they can impact, you know, Cree Stolle at the net, Alexis Miller has always been very steady in the back row. Casey Pierce is a hitter. And then what Ava Eldridge does in her role, these are kids again that have been there, done that. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't come together this year. So, you can look at different reasons why the league is certainly a little deeper. And like I said, I think that some of the adjustments, they just haven't maybe adjusted to quite the way I thought they would. But it is what it is at this point. And I'm the first to admit that I didn't have that wrong. You know, it's still a long way to go, but obviously if you look at the standings, it's going to be very difficult in terms of a league situation. But again, tournament's always that second season. We'll continue to monitor this, and there's a lot of athletes wearing the purple and gold down that team. See if they can get it fixed.
All right, thank you, sir. We'll give you that mulligan. And John, your number two mulligan.
I would say that soccer appears to be a year away from what I thought would be a big showing in the district tournament for the league. I predicted 4 to 5 teams would make it to the district. Now it's still early. But I feel like we're probably still a year away from that. I see us making at least two. I think Unieta girls and Westfall girls definitely can. I looked at the district, or the kind of the way the brackets are set out for Division II and Division III boys, and Unieta and Zane Trace, do not get any favors done with going into the sides that they're on. If it was a super sectional, everybody in one, I think they would each have a much better chance. Mm-hmm. But you kind of saw how Unioda did against Alexander and Marietta, even with a couple injuries. Those two are the top two seeds in their side of the bracket to get to the district, and only two teams get out. So that's going to make it really difficult for them. St. Trace girls, I could see making a push. Once again, if you have a player like Hannah Addy, Lily Collins, or not Collins, Lily Clark and goal, you know, you have some nice pieces. They play a great schedule, so it's going to have them definitely ready for the tournament. So I could still see it happening, but I do think we're probably a year away from making that big kind of statement that SBC soccer is really good and on the comeback.
Okay, Shane, if we were to give you a second chance a second time, what would your mulligan be?
I think I have to take it to the Girls Cross Country League. I think that, you know, based on tradition and based on a lot of things that had happened with Hannah Kerr coming back, Reese Hartsall, Zane Trace having those two elite runners that oftentimes are going to show up in the top five, six, seven at worst, you know, in most races. And as we get down to the league, probably closer to the top three or four. I knew, you know, Lily Stewart still giving solid points and solid performance, but I poor research on my side. I maybe expected a program like that to kind of reload, but in the fourth and fifth spots, they're just getting beat. They're not matching up with the Huntington girls and the Unioda girls, and I think we're in for a great, great race. And I certainly think some of those top two or three Zane Trace runners are still right there in the not only the player of the year, but also the all-league status. But if you look deeper into the rosters, guys, Huntington and Unioda is just more where the race is at. You know, Sammy Reed and Sydney Reed of Huntington weren't quite on my radar coming into the year. You know, Sydney Hopkins was there and so forth. But you had both Reeds and now Hopkins and Maddie Montgomery and, you know, Pointer and Carr and even Wilburn. You look at a lot of races throughout, and they're running in some decent fields into the top 30, 40, 50, and they're just giving more depth. Same way on the Unioda side. You know, obviously, Indy Spetnagel is going to be right up there in terms of challenging Kerr for the runner of the year. But when I look down through with Rollins and Addison Mohan, that, you know, they're top 10 there in the Huntington invite, and Dowd and Brown and Wright and West, these are all kids that in the top 20 are showing. So again, like so many sports, John, it's not my top two versus your top two. A lot of times it offsets, right? A lot of times it's mm-hmm. that depth. You know, we say in volleyball, it's the depth of hitters or the depth of passers, or in basketball, the depth of scoring, or in foul trouble, I can go seven or eight deep, or you know, baseball, softball, six through nine, am I able to limit the strikeouts and get some run production out of the bottom of my order? I think you're seeing that in the girls' cross-country league. I think you're getting kids that that are starting to add to the depth of these teams. And right now, based on what I've studied, Zane Trace is simply not matching up in that fourth and fifth score. And I think as a result, it's going to be more of a Huntington versus Unioda. And the one note real quick, Bruce, on cross-country is – alphabetically, it would have been Paint Valley's turn, but due to some facility restrictions and some of site mound restrictions, Paint Valley currently does not have a home course, so that will skip over them, and Piketon will be hosting mm-hmm. the SVC meet this year.
Okay. All right, guys. Fun game there, Shane. I think we might have to bring that back, at least on the mulligan side, by the end of the season here. End of the fall season might be something.
Well, that's if we mess up again. You know what I mean? It's so rare that you don't know that we'll need it necessarily. But if we do,
I won't.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we'll bring it back towards the end of the fall season. And we'll probably have to have it two times in basketball and maybe two times in the spring, too. I don't know. Well, thank you, gentlemen. We finally have all the scrimmages and the non-league action out of the way. And now we're ready for some SVC football. Next, we figure out what we have learned and what we hope to still learn about Friday nights. We'll be right back. next section of our podcast, being brought to you by North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming. Telephone number 740-773-7387. Call Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff, or visit them at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. They maintain a website where you can get more detailed information. Just look them up, NorthForkAnimalClinic.com. All right, gentlemen, as we get into the football section of the podcast, of course, because we feel it is our job to keep audiences fully informed, and because Shane Combs and John Bruce have been known to consume various and sundry delectable treats while supposedly observing SVC sports events, and furthermore, because the Cincinnati Bengals also continue to disappoint their fans, we pride ourselves in bringing you the following unsponsored segment. Unsponsored segment, though it may be at this time, we go into... Just eat it, eat it. Get yourself an egg and beat it. The Eat It section of our podcast, backed by popular demand. You know, you guys talk about how you get feedback from time to time. I actually got a text this week on the Eat It segment saying that that was good stuff. Now, this person, their judgment from time to time has been questionable, but I really appreciated that. And so that's why we continue to bring this to you. So let's quickly first here, Shane, I guess before we get into the real questions here at hand, what did you have this week in the SVC?
Well, I feel like I might owe an apology to our SVC eaters. I did something that I don't normally do on a Friday night, which is go to multiple sites, and I may or may not have had a little bit to eat after school and so forth or whatever. So I kind of on the run here, maybe did not give Huntington its fair due. I kind of just went diet due and just a basic hot dog, and I know they have so much more to offer. And then as I went over to Pate Valley, I had a repeat, and I don't know if that's allowed. You may have to make an executive decision. I had the repeat sandwich that we'd already put on our plate. And John, if I'm not mistaken, did you say you had the same, or what did you do over there?
Yeah, I also had a fish sandwich, and it was delectable.
Okay.
But so, yeah, I took your advice, and Kai Pullum also, he told me that I needed to get it as well. So I went from hamburger to fish sandwich because of both of you guys. So
so the good news is, Bruce, we have reassured people that choice on the plate was really, really good. Mm-hmm. But perhaps I owe a little bit of apology to the Huntington boosters there, because I just went basic Diet Due hot dog. I don't know if Diet Due is allowed to go on to the official.
No, okay, we all know your outlook on Diet Due, but I guess just because we don't have anything else, and I'm rather upset, you guys, on those big expense accounts that you have, you chose to just have a hot dog. But where on the belly scale would you rate the hot dog? I mean,
well, it was just your basic hot dog. Well, I don't know that
there is no such thing as a basic hot dog. That is a cornerstone of delectable treats, in my opinion.
And it is a sandwich.
What?
Yeah. I would say it was certainly better than average. What, 3.5, something like that. Now, as I said before, if I were a little bit better focused on the Eat It segment this week, then I'm sure there were some other items there at the Huntington. So perhaps if I make it back to Huntington, we will give them a better look there. That was wrong of me, but I certainly can reassure that we made the right selection there with the Paint Valley on our plate earlier this year.
Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for the letdown here on the Eat It segment. I'm trying, obviously, to, you know, sell this for lots and lots of money, because it is unsponsored, as I point out each week. And I think it's just a cornerstone of the podcast, or it should be anyway.
I will say this. John or myself, one or the other, or both or whatever, will most likely make it out to Adina this week.
Uh-huh.
And Eric Cox has been telling us up and down here, John, of some nice treats out there in Frankfurt. So if we are able to make it out to the showdown on Friday night there, perhaps we'll have to give some of those sandwiches a try.
Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. I thought my cohorts were doing better than this. We'll do better next week, I promise, gentlemen. So anyway,
I would like to point out, okay, I have to say this, since if you're an SBC school and you have Derek Webb coming, make sure you, for this month especially, for the next month or so, make sure you have something pumpkin spice available, because that man loves pumpkin spice.
Oh, well, no. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
He was bragging to me about how much he enjoys pumpkin spice and wanted everyone to know about it, because he had no shame in it. So I just thought I would add that. See, that's something new.
My world is crashing down around me right now. So, well, perhaps we had better get back to sports then. Although I realize the belly scale is part of sports for us sports watchers. Shane, so where did you go? You obviously went to Huntington Friday night. Is that correct?
Yeah, had a pushback start time at Paint Valley at 7:30. So my mind got working there and I thought, hey, let's get over to Huntington on the way. Let's see a little bit of the Huntington offense. And then I'll let the voice of the SBC, Mike Smith, kind of start me with the Paint Valley. I had my headphones there. So watching Huntington, listening to Paint Valley, then get in my car, go join John and Derek and the crew over at Paint Valley. Certainly didn't want to cheat myself of that atmosphere and that incredible playoff type of competition and atmosphere and just everything that went with it with the Paint Valley Newark Catholic game. Yeah, Huntington, I'll tell you, I truly like their offense, John. I mean, I know it's going to be a long year for them in terms of trying to tackle and stop people, but I really like this offense. Seth Beeler, dynamic athlete, Dalton Halbau, Brown gets in the mix, McCloskey. When they are in space, they're really, really good. They have trouble in the one-on-one battles, maybe going up top and winning the ball and so forth. But this is a team that, although they weren't going to stop that Northwest ground game, this is a team that could have easily put about 30, 35 points on the board the other night. They turned it over in the red zone 3-4 times. They actually led the game at one point 16-15. And then Northwest just exploded. And it was 45-16 by the halftime rolled around. Not all on Beeler. Certainly some of the balls that he put in spots, were not terrible decisions. Were not bad balls. Just again, young receivers growing. But I really like the Halbau kid in space, as I said. Brown and McCloskey are kids that can make plays. So, again, this is going to be a team that is going to score. I just think, unfortunately, when you look at the top 4, 5, 6 ground attacks in our league, they're just going to have a heck of a time trying to stop people. And then I made it over to Paint Valley, and like I said, I wanted to see that. Just really proud of the Paint Valley kids. I know Mettler and Eisen really set a tone early. It was good to see Cockrell getting back in it. And then when the game was on the line with the offensive line there to trust, to protect. It had been real easy to run that ball, John, and call that timeout, as I tweeted out. But why not trust your senior quarterback and receiver? And I thought Bryce and Cruz made a big-time play there and put the game away. So just proud of them there. Just a lot of kids going on. Dane Miller, another kid, Trent Mettler made some key plays. So I was proud. I just, again, obviously when I watched Paint Valley, I turned a little bit fan. Same way John does with Uniota, and I don't think we apologize for that. I think anyone who's ever coached just knows that. But it was fun. As far as the facility and the team and all that moving forward, Bruce, I'll just kind of let John talk more about all that. But in the game itself, but that's just kind of the way my Friday night went. It was a little bit different. You're going to two different places, but it was a lot of fun to see both.
All right. And John, obviously you were out at the Paint Valley, I believe, all evening. Mm-hmm. Why don't you kind of just give us your thoughts on the game, the facility, the team, and what to look forward to out there with PV?
I'll get to the facility here in a couple minutes, but that is a fun team to watch. They're going to attack you in a bunch of different ways. Shane mentioned a lot of their guys. I mean, Bree Nyson breaking off a 90-yard touchdown run, switching fields, and Bryce Newland throwing his hands up once he got to about the 12 because he knew he was gone. Just showed how special of a player he is. Cockrell making his way back. Then, like you mentioned, Shane, the trust of Coach Holland to go from Bryce Newland to Cruz McFadden. And actually, after the game, I was able to catch up with Bryce Newland to kind of talk about that play in the game. Bruce, can you play that audio, please?
So, big win tonight. You know, what does it mean for you guys to bounce back after last week's game when facing another really good opponent this week?
I think it really shows what kind of team we are. I mean, we knew last week was going to be tough, but Coach told us that, you know, it's not a game that he wanted us to get frustrated on. He wanted us to learn from that and take it to the next game, so I think we did that pretty well tonight.
And so, obviously, big play late in the game. You hit Cruz for about a 30-yard touchdown. Kind of, how did that play unfold, and how much confidence does that give you for your coach to call a play like that in that situation?
Well, I think Coach was pretty dead set on what we were running, because when he called that timeout and we went over there, he told us right away what we were going to run, and he seemed pretty confident that we were going to execute it because we've been running it in practice, and he felt confident about it. And I think me and Cruz and the line and everybody, the whole team, just felt confident about it as well.
And you mentioned the line. How good were they tonight?
They're spectacular. I mean, every night they were as good as they are. Yeah, we tell them that all the time. They work their butts off, and you got to give all the credit to them, because without them, we couldn't do anything we do.
Yeah, and that was, once again, that was Bryce Newland after the game. He had a really good all-around game, 12 of 16 passing, about 165 yards. Just really good decisions also. But the thing that really stood out to me was him mentioning the line before I could even really ask the question, because that just shows how important that outstanding line is, and you know, how much of a team they are, that, you know, the quarterback, just one of the first things he thinks of is to mention that offensive line. So I really think having all those athletes at the skill positions, the outstanding line play, I like the defense. They showed a couple of – there's a couple of things that they need to work on defensively that kind of carried over from week two also. But, you know, if they can shore those things up, man, that's going to be – they're going to be one tough out for anybody in SEC, and that's what I'm really looking forward to on Friday. Now, to get to the facility,
mm-hmm.
I love the new field and the update to the facility. You know, it doesn't feel like it feels like it's always been there. I think it's really well done. Shane and I noticed something on the scoreboard that probably could be shored up. But other than that, it was just, you know, the scoreboard's great. The music playing, like, in between downs. They have certain things that they do. They have the field goal kicking contest. It feels like an event to go watch a game in Bainbridge. And, you know, I was a fan. I was standing there with the Rose brothers. Jake Rose, now teaching out at Paint Valley. And he's talking about how great these kids are, and all the stuff that I've heard from Shane for years on how great these kids are. And it's awesome to hear it from a Unioga guy who's out there teaching now, to kind of say the exact same thing. So it made it easy to be there as a fan too, to watch them in a non-league game. And I know about there's about six or seven of us along the fence that all cheered when Cruz caught that ball in that corner out in the end zone. Just really made it enjoyable to watch it. And I think the entire atmosphere is what really makes it easier to be there just as a fan watching.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to be able to get out there and watch them again.
Well, all around, Shane, Friday night was pretty great night for SVC. Anything surprise you, or what surprised you the most?
I don't know John's feeling on this. Maybe he'll talk about an individual thing. Obviously, Uniota's an easy answer. The Paint Valley Adena wins. You know, when you start beating Waverly, Newark Catholic, Washington Courthouse, Circleville, when you start winning games like that throughout a Friday night, that's a pretty big deal. I was a little disappointed in the Zane Trace game. But I think my answer, John, I'm going to go ahead and more of a summary of the playoff hopes. I think last week, mm-hmm. when I tweeted out what I tweeted out, I was in the middle. I was back and forth. I wasn't necessarily you know, optimistic or pessimistic. I truly was still in the middle trying to figure out the league. And I think the surprise came in terms of how much of a statement our league made, just going toe to toe. So rather than talking about just Uniota taking on the talent of a Shoemaker and coming out against Waverly is been such a big win, and or a New York Catholic or a Courthouse or Circle. I think just overall, I would sum it up as the statement the league made is probably my biggest surprise.
Oh, John, what about you? Same question. What surprised you the most after a great night in the SEC?
Kind of the same. I'd say not so much the wins for Adina and Uniota, but more of the point differential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was up. I was impressed from the updates I was getting on those games all night long. And then while watching Bay Valley, just really outside of those two long pass plays late in the third, early fourth, for Newark Catholic, it just felt like Bay Valley was just in control the entire night. And then once it seemed like it was sort of in kind of in limbo on the game, they just go right down, run 6 minutes off the clock and score and just end the ball game. So I was very impressed with what seems to be the top part of our league. Westfall following up their game with Circleville or following up their really impressive win over Logan Elm with another impressive showing over Circleville. Mm-hmm. Southeastern, just their offense. If you're not prepared for that, and even if you are prepared for it, I mean, that
you've got three. I was going to say, what the SBC? Who's running Lane Ruby on the scout team? Like, who's putting on the blue and white 25 and running that position?
Hey, now I'll tell you this: this might help Westfall if they can bring in some of those guys for that alumni game coming in and have some of them just go, hey. We know you used to be fast. Throw one of the Kleins in there, and just say, "All right, you're going to run this." just say, "Have fun with that." Because the good thing for Westfall this week is that Circleville is running the same sort of offense.
Yes, yes.
But they don't have Lane Ruby, so you know it's obviously going to be a little different for them this week. But that should be a fun matchup to watch because Westfall has shown that they have some offensive weapons, especially once they get fully healthy. So that's one I'll be looking forward to, and I just really a lot of positive things on the league this week.
John, I assume all eyes this week will be on Paint Valley and Adina. What are you hoping to learn as a result of Friday?
This might sound bad. I've only seen Adina once in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And that one time was in that slop fest at Paint Valley last year that led to the field upgrade.
Right.
So I'm really excited to see just how good the Adina Warriors are. And with their, how they've been playing the last 2 years, kind of their fast start this year and really impressive win on Friday. I know they've got a lot of weapons. And I'm excited to see how they deploy those weapons against Paint Valley and exactly what they can do to stop Paint Valley on offense. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to watch Garrett Clark kick just because I enjoy watching good kickers. Mm-hmm. And it'll be a big one. I'll definitely be there. I'm excited to try whatever Eric has talked about with the food wise. So I'll try to eat something more ambitious this time.
Please do. Please do.
With sports or food, Eric's always been known to steer me in the right direction. So hopefully he's not going to let us down. So,
well, I'm looking forward to next week's eat it then. Shane, what about you? What are you hoping to learn as a result of the PV Adina matchup on Friday?
Guys, I think I'm going to go a different direction here. I think, obviously, the Adina-Paint Valley game is big. It's going to be covered from every angle possible, and we're going to break it down. And I assume Mike and BJ will be out there. I assume KKJ will have it covered. I'm sure Sosa will have it covered. Obviously, we're going to cover it. But I'm going to kind of tell SVC fans, with this being week one of SVC play, don't lose sight of this Westfall-Southeastern game. I'm really intrigued by it. John kind of talked about it just a second ago in his answer, in the previous answer. I just feel like if Westfall coming in with some momentum. I don't know what their quarterback situation is, if they're healthy yet or not, but this is an opportunity playing at home. If they can somehow keep Ruby under control with in terms of the big play, this is a Westfall offense that has some ability, John. I think you'll agree, even though Southeastern's defense has been really good, this is a Westfall offense that has the ability to score a little bit. So playing at home, if they can get off to the type of start that we watched last weekend, this could be an interesting game into the second half. Obviously, Southeastern's a team you don't want to play from behind. You certainly don't want to play multiple possessions behind. But I think this is a statement type of game. You know, Southeastern, obviously, you heard Coach Gallagher on last week's show talk about we're always the underdog, and they're going to kind of play that us versus the world, you know, fighting for the respect that a Paint Valley and Adina Unioto gets. They've been an SVC champion. They've been a multiple playoff team. They're probably wondering why their name's not put up there more and more, and rightfully so. So they're trying to make that statement. Well, if you're Westfall, you're a football program that has tradition that goes forever, and you're trying to put yourself back on the map. Well, you're 2-1, an opportunity to play a really good opponent, to play them at home. I'm just kind of curious to see. So I think there's a statement that can be made by both of these particular teams. And so all eyes are going to be on PV and the Dean, and rightfully so. I think I would also keep an eye on some of those updates, and I'll be anxious to see how that game plays out.
All right. Well, we'll review it again next week. Guys, next up on the show, we're going to go to the volleyball court where we are ready for the turn to the second half of the season. Volleyball coverage is going to be brought to us by Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. You can look them up on the web, advancedservicesHVAC.com. Give them a call, 877-947-4499. They're celebrating 20 years of serving Southern Ohio. So you can schedule a consultation today on their website, Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. Appreciate their sponsorship of the show. John, I'm going to just kind of let you turn into me for a while and ask some questions here about volleyball to our Mr. Volleyball, Mr. Shane Combs.
All right. Well, thank you, Bruce.
You're quite welcome.
Now, Shane, with Westfall being 6-0 and two games clear of the rest of the league, what probability or percentage do you give them of winning the league? You could either go outright or just a share.
Well, gosh, when you start looking at that record, like you read it off air, at the share, I think I would certainly go up over 3-4. Let's put the share at about 81%. I think that they're certainly outright, maybe down in the high 60s, maybe around a 68%. I guess the reason I say that is this. Yeah, you look at the schedule. By the time a lot of people listen to this show, they'll have played the end of their first round. That Zane Trace game becomes really important, because if you check out the standings, when you're saying two clear, Zane Trace is one of those that's two back. If they go to Zane Trace and win, they now make the turn with a three-game cushion on everybody in the league other than Adina, who they'll have two on. That's tough to catch a team like Westfall. Now, I will say, starting Tuesday night, we talk about home court advantage. When Westfall's in play, maybe we buried that home court advantage a little too much, because I certainly think that's a factor there. I know we had some fun with that this week, but in all seriousness, I do think that's a huge factor. But they go to Zane Trace, to Southeastern, to Uniota. I know they have to make the return trip to Adina. So, you know, they're certainly not automatic. It's not clear. I just think with a team that's this complete, I do think this is a team that is passing it a lot better than I expected them to. Williams and Latham, some really good athletes. We know how good Kristen Phillips is. She's terrific. She's the take a match over type of player. But you have a championship coach, tradition there at Westfall. The only question they haven't answered yet, they've somewhat answered it in some tough 4 and 5 setters. Is can they go on the road and do it? And if the answer to that's yes, then they could really take a stranglehold on this thing.
And by on the road, you just mean how can they do it in air conditioning?
Yes. Yes.
Because yeah, that gym is hot. Yeah. So that I didn't even think about that when we were talking home court advantage.
Yeah, we might have yeah, missed that one in terms of a mulligan there as well.
Yeah. So now next, do you feel better or worse now than you did leaving the preview in terms of how the league can compete in the postseason?
Well, wow, this is a much tougher question than that first one. Obviously, there's a lot to like about Westfall in that first question. When you start looking at this question you're asking me here, there's a lot of loaded things to look at. I don't know how far off I was with Huntington Zane Trace. I think they have a lot of new names, a lot of new stars, but I think, you know, it's just, you know, they're kind of back and forth on consistency. We had the Southeastern injury. Uniota's completely confusing. I mentioned that earlier in my mulligan. I do think Adina is better. Westfall's been a surprise for sure. Piketon obviously improving, went 5 sets with Zane Trace the other night, Paint Valley. Kind of back and forth. I think John, as I read through some of my notes here and I think about your question, I think I feel better. I think as I see some of the tournaments we're playing in, I certainly feel better. I don't know that we're going to have the Elite Eight Final Four doorstep like a Southeastern offered us last year, but I think we can still dominate the district level and get early regional action. I think there's a lot of a lot of teams starting to come together, and we have some hitters that can certainly carry their teams. And I think the better the depth gets, a lot of times what happens in volleyball is you have those one or two rotations you just can't survive. You might get away with it in certain matchups here and there. As you get to the district level, that's when it starts to show. If you don't get a little bit of balance across the way, that can really start to show up. But you know, I see no reason if the bracket allows us not to beat up on each other, I see no reason why we still couldn't get 5 or 6 teams to the district level. And if that happens, usually what happens is we're able to get 3 or 4 of them playing in the district championship round.
All right, and I know it's way too early to talk about this, but you know, of course we will anyway, since a fan asked us this. We talk about everything here on SEC Sports Talk. Is Kristen Phillips the player of the year if the league ended today? And if not, who would be?
I think anytime you're reigning SEC player of the year in the league, the respect is to start, you know, with her in the picture. Skylar Heiss comes off an off-season injury and has certainly been terrific, mm-hmm, playing some of her best volleyball now. Southeastern starting to show some signs, her leadership. You know, Southeastern obviously getting their record back to what would they be now, 3-3 in the league, mm-hmm, with 1 to go. Gosh, I don't know. Could they get to 8-6, 9-5, 10-4? I don't know. But Phillips is a kid that certainly is a legitimate candidate. When you think of if the season ended today, that means we're assuming that they're a gold ball winner, right? Where they're an outright SEC right, champion. So when is our league usually not gone that route? So that would certainly be a fair point. Now, I also think it would be disrespectful to have this conversation just 6 matches into the league and not mention Josie Williams and Claire Latham and Marissa Mullins and some of the groups, a group of passers that they've had. But Phillips is certainly kind of the one that butters the bread, so to speak, right? When the match is on the line and they need a big play, they can turn to her at the net and she can certainly deliver. So I think that's a fair point. I think across the league, I talked last week about how we're playing almost 78, 79, 80 players. So a lot of teams have such balance. You see a lot of balance in the stat sheets. Dina has that long list of passers, long list of hitters. I will say at Huntington, Pacey and Steele had player of the year type of performance against Westfall last week. That was impressive. I really enjoyed that match. You know, Uniota, when you came into the year with Pinkerton or Cottrell, some of the position changes and some of the things that they're doing now, maybe not lending itself to the best stat sheet, and stats obviously do play a role in this. So, yeah, I think Phillips is certainly a player that's out in front of this. I think as Skylar Heise gets stronger and stronger, she's certainly going to earn a lot of respect throughout the league just because people appreciate her talent. They appreciate her leadership. They appreciate how hard she plays. But, yeah, Phillips has been terrific. So, and by the way, John, on that, I don't know what our five-set count is, but I think we're about halfway, aren't we, to our over-under number. I think that was 4 or 5 now. We right on the doorstep of having a couple more this week. So certainly an incredible first half of the league. So I would expect the second half to be pretty much the same.
I can't believe that we're talking about the first half being over already. It just seems like we just started this, and it's –
When people say that stuff, that blows my mind. When they'd be like, "Oh, I can't believe it's halfway through." My days feel like weeks, and my weeks feel like months. Like when you say that, I don't even know what you're talking about. Yeah. Like it's one of those things. Like I feel like the fall season has been like 4 months already.
Well, perhaps it's because I'm not traipsing around the SVC covering it as you are, and that I'm partially retired. Maybe that's got something to do with it. So anyway. We'll see what happens in this week, and we'll talk about it again next week. While we got the opportunity, I wanted to remind everybody that we'd love to have some input from you on whether you like the show, whether you don't like the show, what you would like these guys to talk about, what subjects, questions, and so forth you have. And if you would have any of those, you may contact the gentleman by, first of all, emailing Shane. His email address is admin1@svcsportzone.com. You can contact him on Twitter, where his handle is svcsportzone. And when he tweets about the SVC, he always uses the hashtag svcsportstalk. And I might add the SVC or the hashtag as well, but there wasn't a lot of obviously traffic on that hashtag this past week, but we're going to strive to change that. On Facebook, he maintains two profiles, his individual profile, which is Shane Combs, SVC Sports Zone, and then there's one, svcsportzone.com. For Mr. Bruce, you can contact him via email, jbruce1018@yahoo.com, and by Twitter, where his handle is the always interesting and storied Coconut Wall Papa. He too uses the hashtag SVC Sports Zone or SVC Sports Talk when tweeting about SVC. You can also contact us by calling the DBK Media Services voicemail line, 740-569-3254. And as always, we ask that you share our posts on Facebook and Twitter, retweet it on Twitter. And if you could, if you're listening to us via the podcast app on Apple, you could go to iTunes, give us a great rating, and perhaps a review. So, Shane, before we call it quits, any final thoughts today on SVC? Anything SVC?
Yeah, real excited. We talked about it this week, soccer records and Sylvia Gray and some of that. That's going to be a little bit of the upcoming Great Seal Sports, in the next month and a half. I think the newest issue coming out is going to look at some of the offensive linemen and some of the seniors and the importance of seniors. But then the following month, like I said, hopefully – getting a little Vijay and Sylvia and what they've accomplished there. We'll also continue to follow Uniota Golf and Westfall Golf. I've encouraged people to really continue to pay attention to the leadership. John, I think we really highlighted tonight on the show when I think of a Bryce Newland, I think of a Skylar Heise, a Lane Ruby, a Hallie Pinkerton, these position changes and the way they treat younger teammates and the way they do what's asked for them for the best betterment of the team. I think those are some of the things that we as coaches and educators, I think that's really cool stuff. That's good stuff. And I think that's stuff that needs to be highlighted just the same as a completion percentage or a number of goals scored or anything like that. So I think that's some of the stuff that I would really encourage people to follow in the upcoming week.
John, same question. Anything you have regarding SVC?
Just make sure to follow along with the golf this week. Big week in SVC golf. Make sure you follow the hashtag SVC Sports Talk because I'll probably be out at a lot of stuff. I know Shane will be too. And if you don't want to deal with some of the nonsense, I'll tweet day to day other than sports wise. So that might be the best way to follow me. But sometimes I can be entertaining, but, you know, sometimes you just, if you want to just go sports instead of hearing me rant about something.
Oh, you're always entertaining, John. What are you talking about? You're always entertaining.
I know. I wanted to sound humble, though.
I see. Well, you told me to say that. Yeah. So, all right. Shane, back to you for our closing bit here.
Yeah, well, guys, we'll get out of here. I know it's been a long show, but it's been a lot of fun. I think we've what we heard from five student athletes around the SBC tonight. That was cool. So we'll continue to try to get more and more of the kids and their voices on the show. But check out Zeb Downs and the great articles. I will say this, John, his Waverly article that's getting ready to come out on the website. By the time people listen, it should be out. It's really good. He's getting better and better. I'm amazed how he takes your suggestions about writing and applies them. So the fact that we're able to connect the classroom, I've also reached out to two or three other high schools. I'm hoping as we get into league play, I would love to get a couple kids from other schools. So as a language arts teacher myself, that's something I'm passionate about. Really excited to try to do that. So guys, a lot of good things going on. And if you love SVC, then why in the world would you go anywhere else but SVCSportsZone.com? So you can continue to come to us, and we'll keep it 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.